have your Bibles this morning. We're going to look at two passages, John chapter 6, as Brother Andrew just read. And I want to speak to you this morning about learning from miracles. I don't know whether you have experienced a miracle in your life recently, but all of us have at some point in time. And when I say a miracle, it's something that's out of our control that God does for us. Maybe there are some times when you couldn't pay a bill and somehow the Lord brought it in. You couldn't explain it, it just happened. Maybe you went to the doctor and there was the doctor said, you know, this doesn't look good. And then all of a sudden they do the test and say, well, everything's fine. And you see that the Lord has stepped in on your behalf. Maybe you were trying to purchase a home or purchase a car and you really didn't qualify or it didn't seem to work out. And then all of a sudden it does. And it's like the Lord does something special for you. I remember years ago when Jeremy was born. The doctor came out and said, okay, your wife is a diabetic and your son is the opposite of diabetic. He is secreting enough insulin for he and his mother. And now that he's born, if he makes it through the night and his body adjusts, then he'll live. And I remember going home and saying, Lord, we lost a little girl last year. Could you please let me keep this one? But Lord, I leave him in your hands. And I went to bed, went home, went to bed that night, and got up the next morning and went to the doctor, went to the hospital and said, did he make it? And they said, well, he turned around last night about 7 o'clock. And that's when I was on my knees and I went to bed. And I saw for the first time God do a miracle for me, and it was clear. Now, I want you to notice in this passage, the Lord doesn't love me any more than he does in this room, everybody. He loves you, and he'll answer your prayers if there are a couple things in your life. You'll notice that these miracles are for a reason. Every miracle Jesus did was for a reason. Now, you're going to notice here in John chapter 6, verse 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, and here's the reason why. Because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. So he was doing miracles and people were following him by the tens of thousands as people would hear. Now there's 5,000 here. And I want you to notice they long for Jesus. They long to see him work in their lives and the lives of their families. I'm afraid we don't long for Jesus very much. We sort of go on through life thinking we can fix things and that if we work a little harder, things will work out. And we sort of set the faith of Christ aside. We don't see the miracle that he can do for us. And so the Bible says in Malachi that he can open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. There's not room enough to receive it. And I'm afraid most Christians go through life without the blessings of God that he wants them to have. They're out of our control, and God loves you, and he wants to be good to us. So I notice here in this miracle, notice verse number 3, and Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover and the feast of the Jews was nigh. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, and he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, you got to understand, this is a crowd of 5,000 men. So with women and children, it's probably closer to 25, 30,000 people. Now, you have to understand, if someone came today, Jesus Christ came back, and he went to Loudoun Hospital, and he went to every room and healed everybody in the hospital, and word got out, multimedia, social media, and everybody got the word, Jesus is here, and he just emptied Loudoun Hospital. And he's going to Reston Hospital. And he's going to Fairfax Hospital. There'd be a rush to get people's families to those hospitals as quickly as they could. If we said, oh, he's going to leave the hospital, he's coming to Temple Baptist Church, people would be here by the thousands at the chance that Jesus would do another miracle. Why is that not happening today? It's the same God. It's the same love for us. Well, I'll tell you, something is missing. He's still able to do miracles, but something is missing. Notice, if you would, in verse number 6. He said this, and this he said to prove him, for he knew what he would do. The Lord already knows what he's got planned in your life. He already knows what he can do. He has no question about the power that he has to do anything in this world that needs to be done. So there's no burden, there's no malady, there's no issue that you could ask of the Lord that he says, I can't do that. But something is missing. And he's testing Philip. He's one of the disciples. We assume this is Philip the disciple. It could be Philip the table waiter, the first one of the deacons. I'm going to assume, you look at all the other synoptic gospels, and it does not mention Philip again. But he looks at Philip, and I sort of think that Philip the evangelist was, he wasn't the evangelist at the time, but he was like Stephen, a table waiter, and he was with Jesus, and Jesus looked at him because he's preparing him for some great ministry in Acts chapter 9. And we don't know which Philip it is, but let's just take for the day, assume that it's Philip the table waiter, one of the first deacons. And so he looks at him and says, Philip, what are we going to do? Notice the words. And he said it to prove him. When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And Philip looked at him. And this is the common answer that we all give, myself included. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth. That's about 2/3 of a year's wages. Penny a day, 200 days. It's not sufficient that every one of them should take a little. You know, one of the most scariest things. I wake up sometime during the night, did we have enough food? You know, if we're going to have an activity here at the church, men's prayer breakfast, and if we have men's prayer breakfast, we always plan for 70 or 80, and we really think we're going to have 50, but we always have leftovers. How many of you have ever gotten some of the leftovers from men's prayer breakfast? Wives, let me see your hands. Raise them up. Okay, it's all over the place. Okay? Because we never want to run out. Well, here, Wednesday night meal. We have visitation and Wednesday night meal, and sometimes we'll have 100 and had 105, and so my wife plans for maybe 110, 115, 120. I always want to have more. Can you imagine somebody coming up and saying, any more chicken? No, it's all gone. Oh, I'd rather have 50 chickens left over than one missing. And so Jesus looked at him and says, hey, we need to go get some food. What do you want to do? And he looks at him and says, Lord, 200 penny worth. We don't have that much money among all the disciples. And that's not enough to just give everybody one bite. Look at the thousands out there. And Jesus said, I asked that because I'm going to prove it. And I think most people don't long to be with Christ, but they also don't realize he's looking to prove us. He's looking to make us stronger. He's looking to improve your faith. When a difficulty comes, you say, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how we're going to solve this. I don't know what's going to happen. And so the Lord says, I can do anything. Will you trust me? And so he said this to prove Philip. He's preparing Philip, if this is the right one, to reach much of the world in the book of Acts. But he's got to build his faith. And folks, he's trying to build everybody's faith in this room. There's not one person in this room, he doesn't know, number one, you're sitting here today, and number two, what you need in your heart. He wants to get you to learn, it's not about the miracle, it's about us learning to trust him so that we can walk through life with joy of heart because we know he's got this. That's the lesson. Now, notice if you would, in verse number 8, And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? And I get tickled. There's only one little boy, and he prepared for dinner. Everybody else came out there with no preparation. All these maybe 30,000 people, 25, 30,000 people, they didn't prepare at all. And this little kid out there, he's got his lunch with him. Now, if I'm him, and Andrew comes up to me and says, hey, can I borrow your lunch? Not on your life. I wonder how many of us say, sure, you can have my lunch. He has no idea he's going to feed 25,000 with it. He thinks this disciple is going to take his lunch. I mean, who would say, sure, you can have my lunch? What young boy would say, you can have my lunch? I mean, whenever we go out after the Wednesday night service, and I'd tell the children's story, and a kid had put his hand in the candy bucket or whatever, and get out some Skittles, and I would say, hey, can I have some Skittles? No, they were my Skittles. That's just our nature. Hey, they've got a ring pop. Hey, can I have a lick? No. They look at me like I'm crazy. It's mine. I don't want you licking on my ring pop. Those are my Skittles. Those are my sours. I want to keep those. But can I just have one? And every once in a while, they look at me and kind of, if I can get to look at them, they usually run to their moms and dads, you know, like that old man's trying to steal all my food. I'm thinking this guy right here is saying, hey, they're trying to steal my lunch. What's going on? And notice what happens. There's a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two fishes, but what is that among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, the number about 5,000, and Jesus took the loaves. The kid gave his lunch. I can just imagine Jesus looking at him and saying, son, if you'll give me your lunch, I can feed everybody. And the kid says, here. Would we say, here? I don't believe you can do that. But children have more faith than we do. Children have a lot of faith in people, for the most part. And so here this young man, he gives it to him. Now keep in mind, Jesus is looking at Philip's life, trying to teach him some lessons. And so notice, if you would, in verse number 11, Jesus took the loaves and we had given thanks. And folks, today, how many times do I go out of a restaurant? Just, this is a tangent. How many know what a tangent is? Something's got nothing to do with a sermon, but it is a part of it, but not much of it. When we go out to eat lunch and we sit down and someone serves what our order is, how many of us sit down to do just what Jesus did here? Lord, thank you for these five loaves and two fishes. As I go out to lunch, I almost never see anybody pray for their food. It's because we expect it. It is something we deserve because I have money. But to remind all of you in this room, you only got money because God lets your heart beat. God has control of everything. So we have to be very careful to become arrogant before the Lord and say, I don't need you, Lord. I've got life. And he says, oh, you do? And he just touches your heart, and it starts skipping beats. Now you're in desperate trouble. But we sort of think we don't need the Lord to do things in our life. I propose to you today, everybody in this room, you need the Lord to do things in your life. We all need the Lord. Lord, we need you to do things like this for us, that increase our faith and that show us what you can do. Folks, we serve the same God that put the stars in their place, that calls them all by their name. But you know what we do? We get so busy with life, we forget about how powerful God is. And somehow the old devil sits there and he won't use his power for you. And we begin to doubt God. And the Lord says, I love you. When you see that cross, don't doubt. I gave everything for you. I love you. Will you trust me? And so I see he takes these five loaves and two fishes, and notice if you would, in verse 11, and he distributed to the disciples. Now, Jesus had a way with food in the sense that whenever he would take somehow, pray, and begin to distribute the food, I think there were baskets that he would take, and the basket would fill up, and they could look in it and look back in it and say, wow, how did he do that? And they take it, and the next guy, all these disciples, notice if you would, in verse 13, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves which remained over. So apparently his disciples, we can take these baskets out and say, here, pass this one down. And it must have taken a couple hours for everyone to eat and to get them all done. And then whenever they left, they said, okay, let's collect all the remainder. And they got those 12 baskets, were filled up again. And the disciples, in my view, would have said, wow, what a mighty God we serve. The Lord is testing all of us when he does something wonderful in our life that we didn't count on. The Lord is being good to us, but he's also trying to do something in our lives. We must learn the lesson that these disciples did not learn. Notice with me, if you would, take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 6. And look with me, if you would, Mark chapter 6. Now, if you'll notice something about Mark 6, verse 32 to 44, he fed the 5,000. Okay, now follow with me. He fed the 5,000 in Mark 6, 33, 32 through 44. Verse 45, and immediately and straightway, he constrained his disciples to get into a ship. So right after they have fed 25, 30,000 people, he gets his disciples, say, go in the ship, we're going to the other side. They get on the ship, and Jesus sends them off, and notice, if you would, to get to the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, and he said, and he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. So he goes up to a mountain and begins to pray for a while. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he sat alone on the land. He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. Now, think of it, a little thing. They're working hard, rowing. My wife and I like to do things outside, and my first wife wasn't physically able to do a lot of things outside, so I'm really enjoying riding bikes and going water skiing and playing ball and stuff that I can do again. And so she said, hey, let's go kayaking. I said, kayaking? She said, yeah. I said, well, I've only done that once. And she says, I'll bet you I don't flip and you do. Well, game on. Now, that was the end of that. I said, we got in the car and we drove an hour out to Front Royal. We got our kayaks and she's pretty smart. She put about the 50-pound bag of food on the back of my kayak. So it's a little like this, you know. And she's canoeing like this. She's kayaking around. And she got ahead of me. Well, she's not doing that. So, man, I started going, you know, trying to get all this stuff. We're really working at it. And, you know, I said, Lord, whatever you do, don't let me tip. I've never been in a kayak really much one time, and that time I tipped, okay? Now she's put this 50-pound weight on my deal and made me very like this. And, you know, so I said, Lord, please, I like to not flip. I really don't want to get all the food wet, number one. But number two, I don't want to get me wet. And number three, and most of all, I want to win, okay, Lord? So would you help me? And so we are kayaking all through this area. And we get down the end of it, and we've made it. We got to the end of it. I didn't tip. Unfortunately, she didn't tip either, so it was a tie. Now, I do love my wife, but I would have liked to have seen her wet just a little bit, okay? But we enjoyed ourselves. And you know, I looked at it and I said, you know, we got to sit down on a rock and start eating our lunch. We were sitting in the canoes eating and I said, wow, the Lord allowed us to have a good day out, beautiful day, a good time. We have food to eat. But you know, and I'm preaching this message today. You know, the Lord provides for all of us. What is He teaching me today? To relax and trust Him. Little thing, Lord, don't let me tip. Now, that may not be a miracle, but it was for me, little one. Lord, don't let me fall when I'm riding my bike. You know, as you get a little older, how many of you notice your balance gets a little bit less? Now, I'm not old, but if you were older, okay? How many of you, you know, you're riding your bike and it gets to tip a little bit. And so, you know, the first day I got my bike, I rode from the Leesburg to the church, and I was riding here. It's an e-bike, so you know I don't have to kill myself. But I was riding about 18, 20 miles an hour, and I was going to the WOD trail, and I turned on it, and I turned on the Heritage Trail. They're right beside each other. One's gravel, and one's pavement. So guess what happened? I hit the gravel one. Bike goes out for me, tear up my arm, elbow. And it's just a skin. It gets scuffed up. And she's watching me on her app. She says, what happened? He's not moving. I didn't know she's watching me. So I sit there and look at myself and get my bike all fixed up. I come in. She said, what happened? How did she know what was happening? And she said, oh, come here. I had to patch me all up. And, you know, I said, Lord, I don't want to fall anymore. Would you help me? So I haven't fallen since. Now, you might say, Pastor, those are not miracles. But those are things that God helps us to do that we need Him for. Because we can't do anything of ourselves. And so you and I, we don't take the time. We don't remember the big things that He's done. We don't realize He fed the 5,000. So notice what happens. Jesus has prayed for all of them on the mountain. He comes down and He starts. Notice what happens. Look, if you would. And He sees them toiling in the rowing. He sees them working at it. And He saw me that way. And notice what happens. And about the fourth watch of the night. Now, I was during the day. This is during the night. He says, He cometh unto them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. Now, if I would have seen Jesus walking on the water, that would have been a miracle to me for sure. Notice what happens. When they saw Him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit. They said, that's got to be a spirit. It's not the Lord. It's a spirit. They had just seen Him a few hours earlier. Notice what happens in verse number 50. And they all saw Him and were troubled. And immediately He talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Oh, it's Jesus. Now watch. And He went up into them into the ship, and the wind ceased. So they were in a storm, and the wind was blowing against them. They couldn't make any progress or headway. And the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, wow, did He just stop the wind? Now, folks, this is hours after He fed 25, 30,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And they said, wow, did He just stop the wind? Did He just stop the storm? And notice what it says. And they were sore amazed. Wow, how did He do that? Notice the next phrase. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was, what's that word? Hardened. Folks, don't develop a hard heart at the things God does for you and I. It's so easy to take the blessings of God for granted. It's so easy to get out of the kayak and say, I didn't tip. Lord, thank You. It's so easy to ride your bike and not fall and say, Lord, thank You. Folks, I'm talking about little things that you and I say, well, that's not a miracle. But it's thankworthy, and it's a reminder that God is with us. And then all of a sudden you go to the doctor and he says, it doesn't look good. And then they do some more testing and come out, well, you're all clear. You can take it one of two ways. You can say, the Lord may have just stepped down and taken care of me and done a miracle. Do we pause to say, oh, Lord, I got to say thank You. All of a sudden out of the clear blue, you get a raise. That that shocks me. So they weren't giving out raises, but they gave me a raise. James 1, verse 17. Every good gift cometh down from above. So every good thing you've ever gotten, the Lord Jesus gave you. When you look back at your life and see all the things that God has done in your life that you realize, wow, he was good to me here. Wow, he was good to me there. Oh, wow, this was a good thing to happen. Wow, that was a good thing to happen. Have you gone around and looked and said, oh, my, that was the Lord? If you don't give him credit, you won't grow to trust him more and more. So these disciples just finished feeding, taking a basket, empty, filled. We don't know how many times they did that, but they just sort of got commonplace to it when they saw him say, winds, stop. They said, how did he do that? Because their heart was already hardened from 8 hours before. Folks, today, our hearts can be so hardened. Every time I drive up to this building, I cannot explain it. I cannot explain how it is here. Oh, I know it can be built, but I can't explain the way it's all put together. The financing, how the Lord did it. It doesn't make sense. The money that is taken, it doesn't make sense. I can't explain it. The treasurer can't explain it. We just know that it's happened. I can't explain how that the supervisors voted for us to be here. I can't explain that. And if you were there that night, you know that was a modern-day miracle. Because people were calling in, don't give that church that space. Don't let them build there. Don't let them make them do this, make them. And it was call after call after call after call. And one of the supervisors says, don't anybody make up your mind until you've heard me out. They were against us. And then the vote goes 5-3, and it shouldn't have. The night before, one of the supervisors called and said, Pastor, you don't have the votes. And I got on my knees, and I called some of the deacons, and I said, well, y'all pray. This is the only last chance. And the next day, it happened. Folks, we look at it and say, oh, that just happened chance. No, it wasn't. The Lord himself stepped in. And whether it's a doctor's appointment, it's a health issue, it's a financial issue, it's a relationship issue, the Lord can step in. And everybody in this room has got to realize you can watch the 5,000 be fed out of the basket that's filled up and empty and filled up and empty and walk away and forget all about it. And your heart gets hardened. And you don't learn to trust the Lord. Today, let's learn the lesson. Number one, I want you to learn a lesson that I want you to listen. We have tangible proof that God is with us. You have tangible proof in your life that the Lord is with you. If you look at all the blessings that you've received, somebody's blessing you, somebody's watching out for you, it is the Lord. Would you be where you are today without the Lord saying, I want you to know I did this and I did that? We've taken the blessings of the Lord and many times haven't even said thank you. He had to pray with the disciples before he fed the 5,000 and all the women and children. He's teaching them to pray and thank you for little things. Lord, thank you. There's a lunch to start with. Folks, every good thing that we have, the Lord has done it for us. But if you become ungrateful, your heart gets hard. I mean, do you understand the privilege it is to be alive, to make a difference for Christ, to serve the Lord today? None of you are alive without purpose. The Lord's got a purpose for every one of you in this room. The question is, are you fulfilling it? And he's willing to feed the 5,000 so you can see miracles in your life that you can say, wow, the Lord did that. Because every good gift the Lord did. How many of you have had good things in your life happen? Raise your hand. Okay? How many of you have had no good things in your life? Okay? The Lord has been good to you. But we don't recognize it because the old devil wants our heart to be hardened, that when a problem comes that's too big for us to handle, wow, 200 penny worth wouldn't be enough for everybody to get a bite. And the Lord says, there's no problem that I can't solve. But do we trust him? Number one, the lesson learned is, do you trust the Lord? Do you? When you get a problem in your life, what's the first thing that you do? Do you go find a place and get on your knees and say, Lord, I need to talk to you? And in your heart, you know that he cares for you. Is that the first thing that you do? Second thing, do you say, Lord, now I'm going to trust you, and do we leave it with him, or do we continue to carry the weight and the burden? Now, that's a hard one for me, to think that God will use his mighty power for me. There was a point in building these buildings where I got to and I said, Lord, I have no answers now. Now what? We're in the middle of it. Lord, we can't finish. I don't know what to do. And I could explain to you step by step that the Lord did and got us to this point. We finished the gym in 2 weeks, Lord willing. And I look at it, it's been 17 years in the making. Only the Lord could do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And I just want you to learn the lesson. There's nothing God can't do if we trust him. Number two, do we trust him enough to get on our knees and say, Lord, here's the problem that I can't solve. Lord, I'll leave the result in your hand. Today, there have been 3 or 4 times in my life where I came to the end and I had no answers. And I said, Lord, I need you. Father, I can't figure this out. I'm trying. I'm willing to do anything, but Lord, I'll leave it at your feet. And he steps in. Why? Because he loves you. You've got to have the ability to learn the lesson to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you with these problems that are bigger than I. I think of a young boy named David. I think of slaying the giant, but he was prepared. Now, I'm going to go back and finish with Philip. Remember Philip? He said he did it testing Philip, and he knew what he would do. Well, a little later on, this Philip that was the evangelist is preaching in the book of Acts, and he's preaching and hundreds are being saved in this great city-wide revival. He's preaching, and the Lord touches his heart and says, I want you to go to the desert. He could have argued and said, the desert? There's nobody out there. Look, the Lord's got a plan for everybody in this room. And he says, I know what I'm doing. He told Philip, I know what I'm doing. He said, how are we going to feed these people? He said, I don't know. He says, I do. And so Philip, preaching all these people and being saved, said, I want you to go to the desert. What, Lord? It never says even ask why. He just got up, the Bible says, and went. The desert, there's nobody there. He goes out in the desert, and he's seen one lone chariot riding through the desert. And the Lord says, that's why you're here. Go talk to that man. He's been to Jerusalem, he's been to church, and he didn't get the answer. They weren't preaching the gospel in that church that he went to. But you've got the gospel. Go tell him. Everybody in this room, you've got a purpose. And sometimes the Lord has to do miracles for us to prepare us to say, I'll go to the desert. I don't know why, Lord, but I'll go. And then he wins this one man to Christ. It is said, if you read up, that one man, a queen's general, started a revival in his country. And many were saved. A revival. Because one Philip learned what God could do with one lunch. And he applied that to one man and said, Lord, you do the miracle. And he goes back to his country, and much of his country saved. Because he said, look what God has done for me. Today, The Lord's been good to everybody in this room, whether you admit it or not. Could I challenge you to learn a couple lessons? Number one, God can. There's no problem God can't help you with. Number two, will you trust it? Number three, will you say, Lord, I need you. Will you get on your knees and will you talk to him and let him have the problem and walk away trusting? His disciples saw the wind stop and said, wow, how did he do that? They didn't learn the lesson. Folks, I'm afraid that the old devil has got all of us in this room programmed to accept the blessings of God, never say thank you, and never see that it was God that did it. Today, could I encourage you to open your eyes and see that every basket that you have that's full, God did it, and be grateful. And realize he can do it again with a neighbor that needs to be saved. He can do it again with a health issue that needs to be solved. He can if we trust him. Let's bow forward to prayer this morning. Feeding of the 5,000, we can learn the lessons, but we have to open our eyes and realize what he can do. We're going to have a word of prayer and stand to sing. If you need to come this morning, I encourage you to come to this altar and say, Lord, I do know what you can do. Lord, I do trust you. Lord, here's my burden. Lord, here's, I need this feeding of the 5,000. Lord, it may not be that, but Lord, I don't want to tip today. Lord, I don't want my lunch to get wet. Lord, would you help me? Every problem is solvable and winnable if the Lord is with you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know Christ as my Savior. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. Could I encourage you to come this morning and let us help you get eternal life settled? And you could know you're on your way to heaven. Don't leave church today without knowing that. Lord Jesus, speak to hearts today. We need you. We can't save ourselves. We can't solve our own problems. Lord, not without you. Would you speak to our heart today and draw us close to you? In your name we pray. Amen.